Some of the men of the congregation at Morgan Street Church of Christ are talking about what seeds they want to plant coming up in the spring in the gardens that they are planning on having this year. And farmers are doing this as well, as to what they will plant in their fields, what type of seed. Now, with this in mind, I thought we could go to Luke chapter 8 this morning and study together our Lord's parable of the soils. As Jesus spoke to the multitude on the shore from a ship, as this was on the seaside, of course, in Matthew 13, verse 2. Now, the parable is about a sower who went out to sow the seed. And it fell on four different types of soil. Yes, and each type of soil is representing a type of heart. And everyone should be familiar with this illustration. You have to have a sower, you have to sow the seed, and it has to fall on good soil. And it needs to be planted, in other words, in the soil. So what Jesus told his disciples was and is the complete and final inspired interpretation of this parable, as we're going to see in a moment when we read from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. And we can learn from this great parable, as we are one of the four types of soils that's in the parable. We have a type of heart, in other words, that's going to be one of these four, as we'll see together this morning, and ask ourselves the question, what kind of heart do I have? And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes, to PFE, which of course stands for Preparing for Eternity, the most important thing we could be doing. So at this point, I would like to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street as we come together in our Bible classes to study God's precious Word, and then we strive to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern, but also with a proper attitude. Thus, in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. And I can assure you that you will be very much welcomed as a visitor, and we'll hope that you'll want to come back and be with us every opportunity that you would have. Now, something else to mention. We look forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested in doing that, please let us know and we'll set up a time at your convenience. And then, something else to mention, if you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, again, you can write to us, that address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now let's get to our study this morning, our Lord's parable of the soils. Now, in a parable, you're having an illustration, something that's very familiar, like farming or fishing, and alongside of that is the spiritual lesson, the spiritual application. So we're going to see the Lord's interpretation of this parable of the soils as we study together from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. So let's go ahead and read that now. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. and some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, verse 9, saying, What might this parable be? And he said unto you, It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Those that didn't want to accept the truth, they're not going to understand it. Now here comes the interpretation given by our Lord himself. Verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. That's very important, isn't it? Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Satan knows the power of God's word, doesn't want it to germinate. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So let's learn from this great parable and see which type of heart is pointing to me, because I fit into one of these categories, and so do you. One of these types of soils, that is. Now, the first thing we need to note here is a sower must sow the seed. Well, that's obviously a main point, because he went out, verse 5, to sow his seed. That is, he had to leave his house, just as we members of the Lord's church must leave our house and go into the world and spread the word of God. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. The great commission is to carry forth the word of God throughout the world. We want to see everyone have an opportunity to hear the truth. Now, some are unable to get out if they're disabled and sick in bed or shut in or things like that. We understand. God understands, better to say. But even those folks can pray for those who are able to take the word out. And when we have visitation, even if we're in our sick bed, we can, you know, relate to the folks that are visiting us about the truth. Excuse me, if they're not, of course, a member of the Lord's church, we can teach them from our sick bed even, and those that are ministering to us and so forth. But notice here, the sower represents the teacher of the word. That's obvious, isn't it? Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's the subject. And when you preach Christ, you're going to preach about his church. You're going to preach about how one must obey the gospel in order to be added to the Lord's church. The work of the church, of course, the organization of the church, all these aspects, what we must do in order to worship God in spirit and in truth, discussing those things, that's preaching Christ, isn't it? And Christians must sow the seed of the kingdom. Are we sowing the seeds of the kingdom, dear brother? We sing that hymn, do we not? Well, it is a must to teach, but the teacher is not the one who gives the increase. No, sir. As we look at 1 Corinthians together 3, chapter 3, 5 through 7. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Notice, I have planted, Paul said, by inspiration. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. The glory belongs to God, doesn't it? Certainly it does. But let's go on. The seed must be sown to produce fruit. And that's obvious. Should be. One could have a barrel full of seed, but if the seed is not planted, it certainly will not produce fruit sitting there in the barrel. The sower expects to harvest a crop, but it depends on what kind of seed that he sows and what type of soil in which he plants the seed. Now, let's emphasize this point. Every one of us needs to understand this without question. Every seed reproduces after its own kind. We see this in Genesis chapter 1, 11, 12, 21, 24, 25. All these verses show us that. So, when you plant cucumber seeds, you're going to reap what? Cucumbers, not tomatoes. When you plant corn, you're going to reap corn, not watermelons. I think we all can understand that without any question. It should be obvious to everyone. So, when it comes to the spiritual application, we need to apply the same logic, the same reason, because the seed in the parable of the soils is the Word of God. Verse 11. Now, physical seed can be corrupted and contaminated, but the Word of God will never lose its power. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's right. The Word of God, therefore, is going to produce Christians, and Christians only. Just like cucumber seeds is going to produce cucumbers, the Word of God is going to produce Christians, not different types of religious groups. That doesn't work. The Word of God does not produce denominations. That's division. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 13. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. The Word of God is going to produce the proper plant, a Christian. So we need to appreciate this. We shall all, of course, reap what we sow in life. Galatians 6, 7, and 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. It's going to turn out like God said it would, in other words. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So, to sow to the Spirit is to what? To live by the Word of God, of course. To sow to the flesh is to follow Satan, living as one desires to live and ignoring what God's Word is teaching us what to do and what not to do. But let me again emphasize another point. The seed must germinate in the heart, that is the mind, to produce a Christian. Now this involves logic and reason. James 1:18, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Begot here. In other words, the word has to be planted in our mind to begot with the word of truth. That's how we're going to become a Christian. Of course, we have to humble ourselves and receive the truth. But that's how we're begotten. That's how we're going to be born again spiritually. Now, this leads us to the next point, which is looking at these four types of soils representing four types of hearts. Now, as we know, in farming, you have to prepare the soil. In the garden, you're going to get the weeds out and so forth, maybe put a little fertilization and so forth. Well, the heart and mind must be prepared to receive the Word of God. We must humble ourselves, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." We have to empty ourselves out in order to receive the truth. Now, as we look at verse 5, you'll see here that was the hard ground, the wayside. Yes, the seed lies exposed. Satan knows the power of God's word cometh immediately. In Mark's account, chapter 4, verse 15. So, you see, of course, in verse 12, where Jesus gave the interpretation. Satan's going to take that word away. He doesn't want them to believe and be saved. So, these people hear, but they do not understand, or they're indifferent and take no further action. The soil remains the same. And this is in Matthew 13:19 as well. So that's the first type of soil or heart, and certainly we don't want to have a hard heart that does not accept the Word of God. Soil number two, the rocky soil or stony ground, where you have rock underneath the soil. There's topsoil, but rocks underneath. So you have a thin layer of rich soil, but underneath there, that's the stony soil we're talking about. Had not much earth, Matthew 13:5. Lacked moisture, verse 6. And you see the interpretation here with verse 13. These people believe the word, make good progress. They obey the gospel. At first, yes, they're ready to get involved and the works of the church and so forth, but they have no root in themselves, and so they're not going to endure but a short time. When affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended and they fall away. Trials and tribulations can destroy or make our faith stronger, depending on how we respond to them. Remember our study last Lord's Day with suffering. Yes, is in the world. Evil is in the world. But how do we respond to suffering, persecutions? We can be hurt by it, yes, or we can be helped, benefited, as we saw last Lord's Day. So we won't, of course, not have a rocky type soil where we have no root. We want to take down roots, of course. But let's go on. Notice the third type of soil. We can entitle it thorny soil, verse 7. And then the interpretation, verse 14. So you had thorny shrubs that are also growing, and their roots occupy a large area. But these thorns are representing something, aren't they? As Jesus said in verse 14, the care of the world, that would be the necessities of life. And as we study Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 33, we need to center in on verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You're going to have what you need in life. But some people put all the emphasis on the necessities and leave out the spiritual. And that's not going to work. You see, that's choking out the word. These are members of the church that are doing this. Obeyed the gospel. But they're allowing these thorns, or representing the, what the thorns represent, to choke out the word. Not only cares of this world, but the deceitfulness of riches, coveting, materialistic thinking, like the foolish farmer in Luke 12, 13 through 21. Well, I'm going to tear down these barns and build bigger ones. Well, who's going to have those things when your soul is required this very night? Now, the next thorn was representing pleasures of this life. How many people are caught up in, well, even wholesome pleasure can take one away from doing what they need to be doing and serving God. If we spend all our time playing games, and where's the time for going to services? People can go to a sporting event. Well, but what if you're going during the times that we should be worshiping God? Or visiting the sick, taking care of spiritual needs. You see how this works? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, what's going to happen? Verse 17 of 1 John 2:15-17. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let's remember that. But let's go on now to the fourth soil, which of course is the good soil, which is representing a good and honest heart. Verses 8 and 15. The seed is planted, takes root, springs up, and produces fruit. Well, that's people who have that open heart to accept the word of God. They hear it, they understand it, they receive it, and they keep it. They're not going to give it up when the hard times come. They're not going to allow the thorns of life choke it out. They're going to bring forth fruit. As Jesus said in John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. But without Christ, we can do nothing. Let's be sure we understand that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Recognize Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Let's be like that tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit. So, every person who is accountable before God has one of these types of hearts. Now, remember, Proverbs 23:7 tells us, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. How do we think? What kind of thoughts do we have right now? Well, hopefully we have thoughts of God's word and accepting it. We are all responsible to seek God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded, James 4:8. Well, we sometimes sing the song, the hymn, as an invitation song, Is Thy Heart Right with God? Well, what if our heart is not right in the sight of God? Then we must correct the situation. That's right. If our heart's not right in the sight of God, we better correct it. Remember Simon the sorcerer? He had been baptized into Christ, but then he wanted to purchase the gift of God, and that was laying on of hands. The apostle Peter and John could pass on the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit being apostles. He wanted to buy that gift. And he was told by the apostle Peter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. And if he did not repent and pray, he would remain in his sins. Acts 8:21-23. So, do we realize the power of the Word of God, as Paul wrote by inspiration? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, the Gentile, that is. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The power of the Word of God needs to be utilized. The Word of God must be in our minds to germinate and produce fruit. Jesus said in John 15:4-5, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches, individuals. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Philippians 4:13. Colossians 3:16-17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. As we close, let's ask ourselves these two questions. Which type of heart do I have, Bob Hawkins? Do I have the hard heart? Do I have the rocky type soil that has no root? Or do I let thorns choke out the word, what they represented? Or do I have that good heart, the good and honest heart? Question number two, and how have I responded to the Word of God today? That's right. We need to answer honestly. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? If you have not, your heart's not right with God. And we stand ready to assist you and study further, to go to the Word of God and allow the seed, the Word of God, to be planted in your hopefully good and honest heart, realizing that you need, and all of us do that are of the age of accountability, to hear God's Word. That's how our faith is going to come. Romans 10:17. Now we're to believe that Jesus is the Christ. John 8:24. Having believed that Jesus is the Christ, we're ready to repent of our sins and make that change of will and do the will of God, getting out of a sinful life. That's Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. Having stated, I believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, I'm ready to be baptized to put on Christ. Galatians 3:27. To be baptized for the remission of my sins, Acts 2:38. To be added to the body of Christ as I come up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life. The Lord will add me to his church, his body, Acts 2:47. And we thank you so much for listening today.